This is the Radio Today programme, your weekly look at what's going on in the radio industry. Coming up on this episode, we'll hear from a former Heart programmer as Global signs Amanda Holden to join the new National Breakfast Show launching next month. James Critland is here asking if the future of AM radio is a switch to digital. David Lloyd delves into the archive for some more great radio moments. And, ooh, we've got new imaging for the podcast. Hope you like our jingles.
Radio Today. The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio. Radio Today.
First, Radio Today's editor and founder, Roy Martin's here. Do you like the new jingles?
I think they're great. Who made them, Stuart?
They were made by...
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.
Macassar. Oh, wow. We've even got jingles to tell us who made the jingles.
Play that again. It was a bit quick.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.
There we go.
And just play it again and I'll get another 100 quid from them. Play it again.
Hang on. No.
I'm joking. All right.
Who do you think you are? You've got right songwriting credit on these jingles as well or something every time we play them.
That's an idea.
So, yes, we've got some new imaging from Macassar to make the podcast sound sexy for 2019 and a new voiceover lady as well.
Yes, indeed. We have Hannah Patterson. Thank you, Hannah. I don't know why I'm saying thank you. It was a strictly commercial agreement. She got money for that. But thank you for sorting those out. And hopefully everybody will like the new sound, because not everyone who's introducing a new sound at the moment is getting praise, are they?
Who's getting slagged off for their sound?
Well, by sound, I'm talking about entire radio stations and presenters.
So Amanda Holden, then, the big story of the week. She's joining Heart. She's going to do the National Breakfast Show, launches in early June with Jamie Theakston and with Ashley off of the Pussycat Dolls as well. And not everybody's happy about this.
Well, there's such negativity. Even your dog isn't happy about this. It's on social media. I mean, most of the comments are from people who are bitter in a way about the radio industry. But when actual listeners start getting involved and saying, you know, hey, listen, guys, what's going on here? Then you know it's a biggie. So, yeah, an interesting choice. Amanda Holden.
Yeah, well, she's very big at the moment in terms of Britain's Got Talent. It's very topical. It's been on the telly a lot. I'm not particularly a watcher of it myself, but she's a tabloid star, gets a name in the papers and around all the events, the celebrity events and stuff. So they're going to get coverage.
Yeah, and the important thing is none of us have actually ever heard Amanda do a radio programme before, which I guess is half the problem. She's not a radio person, but, you know, once you get over that mindset, she might actually... There's only a few people who have heard her do a radio programme, and that's the people in charge at Leicester Square doing probably countless demo programmes to make sure she's actually, you know, good for the job and has potential there to lead millions and millions of people getting up in the morning. So, they obviously have faith in her. Let's give her a chance. Let's wait till June the 3rd and see if she's any good on the radio. If she's a load of rubbish, you know, then go ahead, tell us what you think. But until then, we should wait.
Yeah, she's not going to be lining up the segues and working the faders, is she? So she doesn't need to be a person who's honed their radio craft over the last 15 years. It just needs somebody who's got personality and is going to fit what Heart want to achieve with their brand in the morning.
Yeah, and radio people see where this is going and they're quite happy about it. It's difficult. And there are a few different things with the Amanda thing being leaked on Sunday. You know, they don't mention the local shows being cut. They don't mention the about 60 or 70 people who are out of a job in June because of this. They just focus on the show business of Amanda. So lots of different angles to this, and hopefully we'll try and cover all of them on this show.
Yeah, and we had lots of comments on the Radio Today Facebook. There's been a lot of comments on the Heart social media as well, on the posts about it. But yeah, check out some of the comments on Radio Today. As we say, a lot of them are quite negative, but these are all people who haven't heard her yet. As you say, they don't know what she's going to sound like, so they don't know what she's going to be like on Heart on Breakfast. And also, perhaps some of them are people who probably never listen to Heart anyway, because generally, I mean, I don't don't really listen to Heart. Do you listen to Heart much?
I don't, actually. A few of my non-radio friends do. It's kind of always
on
in
the
car.
You have non-radio friends? What?
I know, just a couple. Yeah, it's what happens when you have kids. You kind of meet other people as well as radio people. It's a bizarre world out there, Stuart. It really is.
I know, I met somebody this week who just found out what I do. He said, oh, I happened to put the radio on the other day and heard you. And I had to think, is that actually him? And then I Googled you, which is always not good when you're talking to somebody who's saying they've Googled you. But there we are. These regular, normal people, you know, they listen to Heart, yeah?
That's right, yeah. You've thrown me now. But yeah, some listen to Heart, some listen to other local stations. And the whole thing with this, when some of the comments say that, you know, local radio is dead and that's the end of local radio, you've got to remember this is just global. There are BBC locals, there's Bauer still doing the local thing, there's community radio, there's all sorts of other radio stations out there that give you local content every hour of every day. So to say global is radio, which I'm sure they will be pleased with, obviously, but then it's a bit of a misunderstanding.
And I think one of the comments on your Facebook I saw as well was from somebody who was kind of summing up what I think a lot of people I know in the industry kind of think, which is, yeah, it is possible to be sad and sympathetic for those people losing their jobs at the moment, and there are a lot of changes going on. But you can also be, at the same time as that, excited to see changes going on and making sure that radio evolves and grows and remains profitable and viable as a commercial entity. You know, there's lots and lots of jobs in the radio industry overall that rely on it existing forever, and some of these changes that are going on and about making sure that happens, upsetting though it is for some of the people who are potentially losing their jobs as a result.
Yeah, it's about making radio more more showbiz at the same time as making it more secure for the future, like you say. So it's hard to go along with people who are trying to turn back the clock and say local radio is dead and this was never meant to be this way and let's try and change Ofcom's mind, because, you know, it's not going to happen.
Well, let's bring in a former Heart managing editor who's now Pan Island station director for Channel 103 and Island FM in Guernsey. It's James Keane. Welcome to the podcast, James.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Yeah, so we thought we'd get you on because you've been running Heart stations up until last year when you made the move to the Channel Islands, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But wanted to get your ideas on what you thought about this news of Amanda Holden joining as the main talent for Breakfast. Is it a good signing from Global?
Yeah, look, for Global, I think it's a really smart move, a bit of a coup. I mean, Amanda Holden, in terms of getting a target demo, high-profile presenter, probably doesn't get much more perfect than Amanda Holden, obviously huge on Britain's Got Talent. And for the Heart audience, that's simply a huge TV show. Interesting to see, in terms of the shift in the Heart music mix over the last 12 months, you know, it's less ABBA, more Pink. And Amanda Holden and Jamie Theakston, possibly, without being politically incorrect, perhaps at the upper end of kind of a target demographic presenter in terms of age. I perhaps would have put Jamie Theakston down as the next smooth national breakfast presenter rather than being retained on Heart. But look, it is, I think, a bit of a coup for Global. I think the addition of Ashley Roberts probably drives the demographic appeal a bit younger. And gives you that sense that the show will be perhaps more celebrity-focused than the current offering, a bit like a UK Ryan Seacrest show or a Kyle and Jackie O show. That's possibly a statement of intent. Interesting to see how Amanda Holden sustains the early starts when she's in the middle of a busy filming schedule as well.
Yeah, we're led to believe she's signed a two-year deal and there's quite a lot of money involved. But I suppose that's going to be worth it because of the coverage that they get. And already we've seen a lot of people talking about her, whether they seem to like her or seem to not like her. You can't argue with the talkability that it's created, just the announcement even.
Well, absolutely. I mean, a £3 million deal seems at the top end of what Global would be paying. I mean, I think fag packet calculations, that's £6,250 a show, which does seem pretty extravagant for a two-year deal. Wouldn't be the first time a tabloid newspaper has perhaps over-egged a radio presenter salary. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Just the PR late Sunday going into Monday in terms of the tabloids and online, huge. I got the sense, and I don't know, perhaps you can shed some light on this, that the PR seemed a little bit disjointed. The photo that accompanied the press release seemed to be photoshopped, and it almost felt to me like the tabloids had jumped the gun and perhaps the announcement wasn't meant to have been made just yet. But you probably know better than I, Stuart.
Yeah, no, I think it was due out Monday morning anyway. So we were a bit surprised to see it landing Sunday night. But I guess things get sent out in advance and the papers just kind of go, right, we're going to go with this. Screw the embargo, don't they? So, but yeah, the picture thing was a bit interesting because, yeah, I think we've heard rumours for quite a while now. I think there's been stuff on Twitter speculating that she was going to get the job and everybody seems to be saying she was the favourite for it. So I'm surprised they've not had her in and done the photo shoot. But there we go.
I do think the show will be a gear change for many of the regional Heart breakfast shows. I can absolutely see Amanda Holden's appeal in the bigger, slightly more cosmopolitan, metropolitan markets. But I think once you get outside the M25, it's going to be a real shift in tone and style for listeners used to waking up with some of the heritage shows. I mean, I'm thinking particularly of the show I worked with recently, Martin and Sue, who've been on in that market in Essex for, well, nigh on 20 years. It's going to be a very different sounding show, and it'll be interesting to see how listeners, particularly in areas around the M25, you know, those peripheral markets who've had a choice of Heart London and the local Heart station, it'll be interesting to see whether they adapt to the new style and new presenters easily.
Yeah, and there's been a lot on the loss of these local radio licenses to national output. I wonder, from your experience, just how much local content, obviously outside of the ads and the travel and the news, how much local content was actually going into those shows, and had it actually decreased over the last decade or so anyway?
Inevitably, it had decreased. I think it's not only what comes out of the speakers that is a concern. I think it's also those local marketing partnerships. It's those relationships. I'm thinking of events like, you know, the Christmas lights. You know, you'd still get sort of 10, 15,000 people turning up in some of these big marketplaces for the Christmas lights. And they were indelibly associated with the heritage breakfast show presenters on the local radio station. The same with, you know, Race for Life and so on and so forth. It'll be interesting to see how you maintain those relationships, or do you maintain those relationships? Do you just go, actually, we're turning on this marketing tap. We're going to be doing shiny TV ads and billboards more easily than ever with Global's latest acquisitions. So perhaps actually the local relationships, local partnerships aren't quite as important anymore. But in terms of were we doing lots of local content outside of local news and weather? No, I think the honest answer is we probably weren't, because the audience didn't demand that. You know, tastes have become slightly more sophisticated, and arguably that's why BBC local radio is there.
Yeah, and we mentioned the shift in demographics and the music changes that Heart have introduced, and obviously Toby's swap for Pandora recently. I think with the change that's happened in London, the time tunnel has gone, and presumably at the end of this month it'll disappear from the rest of the network as well. So it's a bit of a shift, but brands like Heart need to do that because it's been going, 10 years around the country, so it needs to freshen up and move and get the younger audiences in, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. What Heart has done is markedly moved away from the 1970s, 1980s, and it's very much a station rooted in songs from now and the last 10 years. And I think that needed to happen. I mean, if you think back to when we started out in radio, we wouldn't have been playing songs from the 1950s and 60s. And actually for Heart to be playing songs from the 70s and 80s in the year 2019 just feels a bit old. And as the average listener age edged ever upwards, you need to do something to redress the balance and get Harp back super serving the 30-somethings.
And there is this campaign to kind of save local radio and reverse some of the changes that have been made by Ofcom. Have you seen any of that? And do you think that's actually, you know, anything that's achievable? Or is this change that's happened because of deregulation, from your perspective, what's needed to move the industry onto the next level?
No, I don't think you can put the genie back in the bottle. And I do think the world is evolving, and ultimately, you know, listeners vote with their ears. And nobody can accuse Global of not investing in their products. You know, they are shiny. They are, by and large, very successful. Community radio is kind of stepping up and filling that void in many places. A market I know well, Cambridge 105, yeah, very successful community station. And I know Ofcom obviously relaxing some of the requirements in terms of transmission power for community stations, enabling them to compete on a slightly more level footing with the heritage commercial stations. So I think, yeah, the world is evolving, and I don't think you can unmake the cake, as it were.
So James, you've been out of Heart for nearly a year now, and you've been working in the Channel Islands. I think for me, and probably a lot of people in UK radio, when you mention Island FM or Channel 103, historically over the last 20 years, the thing you think is massive reach. So I suppose it was a good job to go to because you were starting at a high point with your audience, weren't you?
Absolutely. I mean, coming to the Channel Islands, you come across these radio stations that are not just listened to, but they're loved by their audiences, and indeed the advertising community. I mean, these are great businesses. They're great radio stations. Across a 13-week period on both islands, more than 9 out of 10 people tune in, and they're listening for a huge amount of time as well. So they are great radio stations, and it's got that sort of feel of commercial radio back in the late 80s and early 90s. Every shop you walk into, every petrol station or a cafe, they've got the radio station on. And it's a very different relationship, I think, people have with the radio stations over here. Because we have our own parliament, and in effect, we are almost our own countries. We're crown dependencies in Jersey and Guernsey. So we do invest quite heavily in local news. You know, we have six full-time journalists across the two islands. We're local 24 hours a day. We don't do any networked programming either from the UK or indeed Pan Island, which surprises some people.
Is it just that you're surrounded by water that people want to listen to something that's for the place that they live, or is it that they can't get much else?
I think, being candid, probably a mixture of the two. It's not a terribly competitive market in terms of, we have the BBC Nationals on FM, but we don't have the other national commercial stations, so no Classic FM, no Talk Sport or Absolute, and to date, no commercial DAB. We do get all of the stations from France. You know, we're surrounded on both sides by France, you know, Cherbourg to the east and Saint-Malo to the south. So all the FM signals romp in from France. So if you want to listen to a bit of NRJ, you can do, driving around, polish up your French language skills. But yeah, in terms of mainstream music radio in the Channel Islands, it's Channel 103 or Island FM. If you want local content in slightly more detail, obviously BBC Radio Jersey and BBC Radio Guernsey both exist as well.
And you mentioned the DAB. Ofcom have got an advert out at the moment, and there's a closing date in July for a multiplex to cover the Channel Islands, and that's something you're planning towards having an involvement in.
Yeah, no, we're working with Folder in the UK. We've set up a joint venture company, Muxco CI. 70% Tyndall Radio, the owners of Channel 103 and Island FM, 30% Folder. We are planning to apply for that multiplex, so we're busy getting the message out there to local businesses and key stakeholders across both islands, and drumming up some interest in the multiplex. But yeah, long overdue. It secures our digital future potentially for Channel 103 and Island FM, along with the BBC local stations here. And potentially opens up some really interesting opportunities for, you know, perhaps some spin-off stations if we're successful in our application, and also a route to air for stations that are currently available in the UK but aren't currently broadcasting to the Channel Islands as well. So yeah, really exciting. Can't wait.
And for somebody like you who spent the bulk of your career in one region in East Anglia, to then kind of up sticks and move to some islands somewhere else, it kind of says that there is life outside of the main conurbations in the UK, and you know, perhaps people being displaced by some of the changes in UK radio could embrace that and look at opportunities not necessarily in the UK. So yeah, I'm not saying you're abroad quite, but it's a step towards it, isn't it? So I suppose it sends a message that, you know, you can just change everything and things can go better, because I presume you're having a great time out there.
Yeah, look, it's a wonderful place to live. I'm just looking out of the window here in Jersey. Bright sunshine, blue skies, 22 degrees Celsius. What's not to like? but in all seriousness, yeah, it's I had a great time at Global. Made some good friends, worked with some amazing people, both locally and at Leicester Square. But yeah, coming over to Jersey and Guernsey, amazing people, great radio stations. And yeah, we're always looking for new talent. So if anybody fancies popping a CV and a demo across, yeah, feel free.
Excellent. There's the plug as well. Well, it's nice to catch up with you, James. And nice. We were trying to work out before whether we actually met, because we both worked in Cambridge at the same time across town when I was at Q103 and you were at Star. But I'm not entirely sure that we ever spoke. So apologies for that at the time.
No, I'm sure our paths will cross at some event or other in the months to come. But no, thank you for the invitation.
Thanks for coming on. Nice to touch you, James.
Thank you, Stuart.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
It is the Radio Today programme. I'm Stuart Clarkson. Roy Martin's still here as well. Interesting stuff from James Keane there.
Yeah, and quite honest, and I'm conscious that this podcast so far has been quite positive about global's changes and Amanda Holden and all the rest of it. But, you know, we can't be too negative on the show. There's plenty of people being negative elsewhere. So let's try and stick with the facts. An interesting admission from James there saying that the local demand isn't necessarily there anymore, and over the years any local content that was on the Heart stations has disappeared over the last sort of, you know, 10 years since Heart has been this national brand delivered locally. So yeah, a lot of things to consider there. And I think, was it you or him that said there is life after Global?
Yeah, and James is proof of that because he's left Global.
He got out before it all happened. But just to cement that, I noticed on my local station this week on BBC Radio Solent Drive Time, you'll never guess who the presenter is, because they've not got a permanent presenter on Drive, so they're trying out loads of different people. You'll never guess who the presenter is on Radio Solent Drive this week.
Is it Amanda Holden?
It's not Amanda. She's not started yet. Well, it's the guy, up until a few weeks ago, was doing Capital Breakfast.
Ah, okay.
You weren't expecting me to say that. Jono.
No.
Jono Holmes, not John Holmes, obviously, but Jono Holmes, who did it with, I think it was Emma, who did Capital Breakfast on the South Coast on the old Power FM station. He's on BBC Radio Solent. You wouldn't imagine that a Capital jock would be on the BBC. So it just goes to show you can reinvent yourself. And if you look hard enough and you're talented enough to continue, there's work out there.
Are you flicking through your local paper there? There's a lot of noise going on in the jobs section.
It was the Southampton Herald, yes.
Should we talk about some of the other stuff that's been going on in radio this week? The Capital Summertime Ball acts have been announced, but it's more global news. This, they didn't announce them on the air, and I heard a bit of Roman, Vic and Sonny on Monday morning, and they were saying, we're not going to tell you who the acts are. You've got to go out and find them on our billboards.
And then you tell us.
Yeah, tell us who the acts are.
That was really good, and I thought it was just Global messing about with their billboards, but they're using billboards that they don't own as well. So it's obviously something they want to do rather than are doing because they can do. But very clever, very clever. Well done to Capital for that one.
And I think, is it Jonas Brothers or somebody? I've not heard of them, but apparently it's not a big deal.
Yeah, well, they've not done a gig in the UK for about 10 years, so all the big fans were like, no way, Jonas Brothers, it can't be. So that'd be a good gig.
Excellent. Talking of a good gig, a new controller for pop radio at the BBC and a controller for BBC Sounds. This is a bit of a revamp of the management positions at the top end of BBC Radio. So Bob Shannon used to be the Radio 2 controller, but then when he moved up, and he's now moved sideways again, and he's the managing director of the BBC, but when he moved up, they didn't replace him with a controller. They just had a head of Radio 2 and a head of 6 Music. So we're now getting a controller who's going to look after 2 and 6 and 1 and 1 Extra.
Yeah, and any other pop music station they run. And it's highly tipped that the current controller, the only controller of those stations at the moment, who is Ben Cooper, of course, he's highly tipped to get the job. So Ben will be controller of all the pop music stations, although I don't think Asian Network is necessarily a pop music station, but that's by the by. And then each station or grouping of stations will have their own heads, if that makes sense. So you'll have, right, like, yes. he'll be the boss, and then you'll have, they'll have program controllers effectively at each network. So they're just moving things around, aren't they, and getting their stuff in order.
Yeah, and I think the Radio 4 recruitment is going on at the moment for a new controller there to replace Gwyn Williams. So we're expecting news of that quite soon as well. Local Radio Day is happening this year. It's going to be on the 24th of May, but it's not being run by UKRD. It's kind of some community stations and BBC Local Radio getting involved as well.
Yeah, although interestingly, UKRD stations, I think, are still doing it. They're just not running it. Yeah, so I'm told that may be fake news, but but that's what I was told. Because, of course, UKRD are still running separately at the moment, in Hold Separate. So they can pretty much do what they want. And I think they are doing.
Yeah, and talking of community radio, another 35 applications gone in since we last spoke on the podcast for community radio licences. All of those you can see at radiotoday.co.uk, of course. So good luck to anybody who's put in for another community radio licence. There's still a lot of demand there.
There's so many. They're probably all hoping one day the deregulation will come to community radio as it has done with commercial radio, and they'll all have a license to print money again, but we'll see if that happens or not. But yeah, there's probably like 300 stations going on for now, so if all of them make it to air and win the licenses.
A couple of good luck messages. Andrew Ridgely is doing his first radio show on Radio 2 on Bank Holiday Monday, doing a special 80s show. And good luck to Sam Walker, who's now finished on air at 5 Live ahead of moving her whole family to Phoenix, Arizona to start a new life there. You can read about Sam's departure on Radio Today from
YOLO.
Yeah, absolutely. Go for
YOLO.
It.
YOLO.
Yeah.
I'm more FOMO personally, but YOLO.
I don't know what any of that means. Yes, of events. Course. It's a busy month. We've got all sorts going on in May.
You're heading south, aren't you? You're coming to London for a couple of big events.
I know, yeah. Out of Yorkshire. It doesn't happen often.
Radio Festival, 13th of May. Tuning In Conference, 14th of May. All part of Radio Audio Week. We expect to see Greg James, Zoe Ball, Simon Mayo, James Purnell, Margot James as well. The Tuning In Conference is hosting Roman, Vic and Sonny, of course, from the Capital. What else is on Radio Week? It's going to be
Podcast Awards, the Young Arias.
Yeah, loads of things going on, and one or two other things. If you look at radiotoday.co.uk/events, you'll see all the upcoming events that we've got listed for you.
Excellent. Thank you, Roy.
That's all right. Thank you.
And just ahead of James Cridland, a quick word about Clean Feed. It's great for doing OBs or co-hosting your show from somewhere different to usual, maybe from home one week. And if you're making a podcast, it's great for getting a guest on from a remote location and recording them in good quality audio. As I say, it's called Clean Feed. You can find all the details at cleanfeed.net. It's all about live, great quality audio in your browser over the web, and you can even record it within that browser as well. There is a free version. It doesn't cost you anything to get started. You can sign up really quickly, and within minutes you'll be doing your first live interview or hosting your show from somewhere different. Find out more at cleanfeed.net.
I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. If radio's audience is getting progressively older, AM radio is partly to blame. In most parts of the world, AM radio is the home of shouty and reactionary talk radio, urgent-sounding 24/7 news broadcasts, sports broadcasters, or oldies stations, which I always thought were named after the music, but increasingly appear to be named after the audience. The sound of an AM station is supposed to be warm, but in reality it's the sound of old-fashioned radio, hisses and crackles, and while some people like that, they tend to be the kind of people that advertisers seem to be targeting on AM radio. Retirement homes, over 50s clubs, funeral directors, contraptions for effective pest control, vitamin supplements, and a thing that squirts water at high pressure to clean driveways and paths without bending over. The issue with AM is twofold. Firstly, it sounds rubbish. And secondly, it needs somebody to deliberately hit the AM button. And nobody below the age of 55 is going to do that without a really good reason. AM comes with some benefits, though. Not least that its coverage is significantly better than FM radio, particularly in the middle of nowhere. In some parts of the world, AM radio is all there is. And they might be the people who deserve radio the most. So it was interesting to learn about WWFD, The Gamut, an AM radio station in Maryland in the US that's been given special dispensation by the FCC to broadcast an all-digital signal. The station looks like the future, with a logo that appears on a typical HD radio, as well as artist name and song title, just like FM. But it sounds like the future too, with a decent-sounding stereo signal that far overperforms muddy analog AM audio. I heard a bit-for-bit recording at the NAB show. 20% of cars on US roads already have radios capable of HD radio reception, and the benefit of an all-digital signal over the typical hybrid broadcast is a vastly improved coverage area, as well as more bandwidth for the audio signal, so it sounds better. A man called Dave, who's both the station's program director and station engineer, imagine, is quoted as saying, "It's probably easier to build an audience from scratch with an HD signal versus AM. I'd rather take my chances as an HD station." And it looks like he's right, because for the first time in a long while, the station has finally appeared in the official audience figures. There's one step left for HD radio sets to let you tune in by station name, not by frequency. Only then would the gamut be properly discoverable. Even now, nobody's likely to hit the AM button on purpose. But with that tweak, all digital AM might be the future for AM. Because heaven knows, it needs one. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now on the Radio Today programme, here's David Lloyd. Radio
Moments. Let's start this week in 1991, and there's excitement at Radio 1.
It's a fabulous track. The song was written by Sam Cooke, recorded in 1965 on the album Otis Blue by Otis Redding. Change is going to come, and that's the one that rounds off our programme this evening. Thank you very much indeed for listening. I'm just about to pack up all my carts, my tapes, records, boxes, and all my bits and pieces to transport them up to the brand new studio upstairs because, of course, later on today, Radio 1 begins 24-hour transmissions. This program on air tonight at 12 o'clock until 4 a.m. I'll see you then.
1FM goes 24 hours. Wednesday, 5 a.m. We'll open and never close.
So, 5 o'clock in the morning.
And now, for the very last time.
Europe's number one station, BBC Radio 1 FM.
BBC Radio 1 FM.
And good morning. The time is exactly 5 a.m. Here with headline news is Rod McKenzie.
Good morning, Gary. The Lords have again rejected plans.
And it's been on air ever since that day. There's nothing quite like opening up a radio station in the morning, is there? Radio 1 starting 24-hour broadcasting this week in 1991 with Bob Harris and Gary King there. 2005 now, and Neil Fox isn't very happy.
I was trying to work out what song I would play. It's my last song on this fantastic radio station. And I was trying to think what actually I could say as well that would be a way of saying goodbye. Well, the only thing I could think was 32 years ago, Richard Attenborough's mates started this radio station. And it became, let's be honest, as much part of London as black cabs and double-decker buses. And I remember growing up listening to 5 through 8 and the 194, and then 95.8, you know, with my brothers as a kid. Then ended up, I wanted to be a DJ. And eventually, I got a job here.
Capital, I think, went through some really weird management changes, for sure. We, you know, we ended up, I'd had some times when I was definitely going to be getting the Capital Breakfast Show, and then literally, you know, the next morning when I've just signed my contract because I know I'm about to get the Breakfast Show that year, yeah, they've just re-signed Tarrant for another 2 years. And there are a couple of moments like that where you won't necessarily tell the whole truth, myself or my manager or agent. And so that leaves you feeling a bit frustrated, there's no doubt. They were so desperate to keep CT. He was doing Millionaire by this time, which was obviously a runaway success. 1 year, he had 5 months holiday. So he goes, so in that 12-month period, he did 7, I did 5 months of Breakfast. As a station, that is a really not a good way to run it. But no, we got through it. I did think I was going to get Breakfast, and then it didn't happen, and they decided things were changing then. So this is sort of early 2000s. Yeah, it was time to go.
Neil Fox concluding his Capital Days this week, 14 years ago. What's this in The Guardian from this week in 2012? The BBC Drive Time host Greg James on his rapid rise from student radio. And further down the article it says here, "Of course I want to do the breakfast show," says James. "If you don't want the breakfast show on the station you're presenting on, you're an idiot." His dreams came true. DLT, by the way, also wanted the Radio 1 Breakfast Show, and he got it this week in 1978, its third ever presenter.
This is the DLT Breakfast Show, yours every morning, Monday to Friday, between 7 and 9 on National Radio 1.
In 1971, this week, Radio Derby began. Local radio from the BBC with all those local accents.
This is BBC Radio Derby on 96.5 megahertz VHF, broadcasting to Derby, Derbyshire and South East Staffordshire. The Derby Ram, played by the Derby Concert Orchestra, welcomes you to this...
BBC Radio Derby, which began broadcasting officially this week in 1971, though it went on air 2 months earlier than planned to cover the bankruptcy of Rolls-Royce. This week, 50 years ago, my mum's favourite soap began on Radio 2, Wagoner's Walk.
There have been a good many changes in Wagoner's Walk since the 18th century, when the men who gave their name to the walk paused on the way up the hill to Hampstead to refresh their horses at the trough and themselves at the inn. The area has long since been engulfed by the sprawl of London, but something of the village atmosphere remains. Of course, not many of the inhabitants are Londoners by birth, like the girl who's just stepped out of the taxi in this, the first episode called Moving Pictures.
The first Wagoner's Walk on Radio 2. It was a daily serial running for 11 years, beginning this week in 1969. And it was actually spawned from a Saturday night theatre play in January that same year.
The Rope Walk, a new play for radio by Alan Downer and Joe Hyam.
The Rope Walk from Radio 4 in 1969. It's difficult to believe that you could launch a rock music station on AM, but we did this week, 26 years ago.
2 minutes and counting to the radio revolution. 2 minutes and counting to the official launch of Virgin 1215. 5 seconds and counting to the official launch of Virgin 1215.
Hello to everyone here in Manchester and across the UK. It's 12:15 on Friday, April 30th, 1993, a date which will go down, we hope, in broadcasting history. I'm Richard Branson, and this is the radio station I've always wanted to hear. I hope you'll find it the station you too have always wanted to hear. Virgin 12:15 is now officially on the air!
The launch of the first Virgin Radio, Britain's second national commercial radio station, on the old Radio 3 and Radio 1 medium wave frequency. So, with BBC Radio Cambridgeshire launched, the 25th BBC station 37 years ago.
Well, that was our station signature tune, which I hope will become a very familiar sound to you over the next few months, played with great gusto there by the musicians of the 1st Battalion, Norfolk, Suffolk and Cambridgeshire, the Royal Anglian Regiment based at Oakington.
Richard Catt taking over mid-evenings on Capital London 10 years ago.
And I know for years my parents were just like, "Can you get a proper job yet then? Have you finished with this presenting business?"
Roger Day making his first appearance on air 53 years ago.
Welcome back. You're on the move with a second hour of the Roger Day Group, and thank you, Alan Black, for the news. His showtime is every afternoon between 2 and 6 p.m. Make that 2 and 5 p.m. Between 5 and 6 is Gary Stevens.
The final Noel Edmonds Radio 1 Breakfast Show 41 years ago.
It's 2.5 minutes past 7 on a Friday morning, the 28th day of April, 1978. It's
No, I'll take it seriously.
Roman Kemp taking over the Capital London Breakfast Show alongside Vic Hope 2 years ago.
I mean, how do you feel about that? Is that going to be all right?
Heart beginning networking 11 years ago. Back then, just 3 stations.
This is Heart,
London's Heart.
And the UK's first FM transmitters switched on in Kent 64 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David Lloyd, and regulars James Cridland and Roy Martin. And plus thanks this week to James Keane from Island FM and Channel 103. Next time on the Radio Today programme, we're talking to the CEO of the Broadcast Journalism Training Council, John Goodell, a former IRN editor. He'll tell us about the future of radio news. Join us for that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macasso.